Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chat from a Hat. I'm your host, Josh Brown, along with my co-host,
Caleb Luther.
We're a little bit loud, but that's okay. We're going to be fine. We're going to keep rolling.
Are we a little bit loud?
We are a little bit loud, but I think it's okay. I think it will be fine as long as we're not up in the microphone screaming like that. So, I think we're good. So, Caleb, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Been a long day. I had to go to the doctor this morning.
Yeah.
I'm sick, just tri-monthly appointment. Then went to work.
Did you,
Was very lazy during that. Wow. Kind of lazy now.
A little lazy, but are you having yourself a lazy bones day? Is that what you're having?
Maybe.
Lazy bones.
Did get some good walking in this morning in good old-fashioned 35 degrees weather, though.
Yeah.
Considering that I went walking yesterday and it was 65 degrees.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier and about how I don't understand how it can be 65 in, I mean, I understand how, but I don't understand why. It wants to be 65 degrees and then the next day it's like 43 out there. That's
sucks. It's that time.
Mother Nature needs to get her shit together.
It's that time, you know. March is the October, is the equivalent of like October when it comes to weather.
March is the is the sick weather, is what it is what I call it, the sick weather. Because you're guaranteed somebody's gonna get sick.
You know, well, obviously, but people's always getting sick. You know what month I've been getting sick in the most lately?
October.
June.
Why?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
I've been getting like colds and sinus infections in June. Remember, I got one last year.
Maybe you need to, like,
remember,
stop.
Don't you remember the? I don't know what to do. Remember, because we went
for
to
someone
the,
that takes so good care of themselves and tries to wild, not right? do anything in their body. And
it's wild June, right? But I don't remember we went to the opening of Atomic Comics last year, and I was very I felt awful.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm about to die in here. Still bought an N64. Maybe that's why I bought the N64. I was not in my right mind, but
it's
I don't
possible.
Regret it.
Possible.
Don't regret it.
Yeah, you haven't played it one time since you bought it.
But you know what I have been playing? I'm on a video game kick again for the first time in 4 years.
That's fine. We'll talk video games.
I go through, you know, it doesn't go along with my collections, but we can always talk about video games because I'm into it right now. And I've been replaying Fallout New Vegas. Mm-hmm. Haven't played it since like 2012 or 2013. Wasn't that good at it then, but I think in my early to mid-30s, is already better at it than whenever I played it.
I keep thinking I'm bleeding.
All those years ago. I'm killing it. I feel like I'm killing it. I got two people following me.
Yeah, you're killing it. You're killing dogs and old ladies.
Well, I got a hitman following me, and I've got a dog following me. A dog that is partially robotic, but we had to kill a killer dog to steal its brain to put it in my dog so my dog could be more advanced. The game makes sense, okay? Don't worry about it. I did have to kill an old lady and her dogs. There was no other way. And I realized that I wouldn't lose karma because of it.
As Chris Workman would say, she knew too much.
There was no one around. They couldn't see it. And she had a key that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And what was funny is that yesterday...
Did you not like...
I couldn't pick it off of her. No,
oh.
I didn't. My skills weren't up high enough.
Oh,
that's the problem right now is that my skills aren't high enough to go to the next part of the game. So I'm trying to like run around and do something to get my science up. And I can't. I need like two more points in my science skills to like trick a robot and to let me go into something. But what's funny is I was playing the game yesterday. And it was like, here's how you can get this dog brain. You can go get it from these bad guys here. They got a bunch of dogs. Or you can go to this lady who has a dog. I was like, okay. Then I looked at it. I was like, oh, I killed that lady. I killed that lady about six missions ago. Can't go to her. It's like her body was still there. I was like, ugh. Walk away.
That's gonna decompose.
Let's walk away. It's always there. It's been weeks. It's had to been weeks. But I like it. I'm only playing it because the trailer to the new show just looked so good, and it got me. I was like, you know what? I need to get back into this. And I think it's the most fun game I've ever played. And I played Red Dead Redemption 2 4 years ago, and it's probably a better game, more emotionally driven. But Fallout New Vegas is so fun.
Yeah, it's
it's funny, it's dark, it's kind of scary. Well, it's not emotional at all, really.
I have been on a game, a kick on a game called Helldivers 2. I don't know if you've heard this, I don't know if you've seen anything about it. But dude, okay, so the premise of this game is it's Starship Troopers, pretty much.
Okay.
But it's also Terminator at the same time.
Okay.
So you are a group of soldiers, okay, and I say group of soldiers, but all of the people in the game are this army for Super Earth, quote-unquote Super Earth. And you pretty much, you just eradicate bugs and eradicate robots, and you do all, and you do like specific mission things. But each planet has its own thing as well. Like, there's one planet that is, it looks like a fire planet, but then like randomly, like fire tornadoes will drop out of the sky and like wipe you out completely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is that it's a team of four. It's you and three other people. 99% of the time, it's people you don't know. But like friendly fire and stuff's on. So like if you drop a airstrike or something on these bugs and your friend is nearby, your friend's dead. Mm-hmm. But it is super, super, super fun. And there is like this big, huge community now of this game. And it's like the online community is huge. And like you can't go on like YouTube or you can't go on like TikTok or something like that right now without seeing this game. It's Sony did not expect this game to be as big as it became. Mm-hmm. And it's super, super fun and super, super addictive. Like, you will sit and play it for hours and not realize you've played it for hours because it's so engrossing and so enthralling. But definitely worth playing. But yeah, I agree with you about Fallout, though. Fallout is a game series that I've played three. I think I played a little bit of four. It's just, for me, it's really, really hard to get into RPG games like that, because I just don't have the time, and I don't have the devotion to them. But it's just me.
I
love story driven games though, and yeah. Fallout is a story driven game as well. But I can't wait for. I forgot what I was gonna say. I had a game in mind and just forgot what it was. Oh well, if it comes back to me in the middle of the episode, I'll be like, I want that game. But yeah, so Helldivers 2 is what I'm on right now, and it's a whole other monster when it comes to like cooperative online games. It's fun, okay. Super fun. But Caleb, last week we talked about Serial. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Last week we talked about our 2010 albums. I thought about Serial because John Poole said what he said and was calling us out for not liking chocolate cereal. Well, guess what, John Poole? We don't.
I did vote on his thing, and I thought Cookie Crisp was the clear winner in his little... Because the rest of them were way too chocolatey. The rest of them were just straight up chocolate, like little like chocolate puffs.
We're just going to get John Poole to be like our official poll maker for... Instagram, since he knows way more about Instagram and stuff than I do. Folks, I'm barely lucky to put Facebook up, to be quite honest with you. Even though my wife has a master's in marketing, she doesn't really help us with it. She just went, what? No, I was passing the blame of promotion and things off to you. I know you do. You make, yes, okay, Nancy does make the graphics, but
yeah,
that's it.
She doesn't have to do anything.
She doesn't have to do anything, that's right, Caleb. Shh, be quiet. Be quiet, shut up. Caleb's in here talking crap.
No, I was defending her.
She's like, I'm just eating my chips, I don't care what you all say. But we talked about our 2010 albums, and we made us a little playlist of the songs, like we always do. We posted that, well, today, of course, but this is Wednesday when you'll be hearing that. But you can still go back through Facebook and listen to some of those songs and tell us what you think and everything. Caleb, anything else in the world other than Fallout, New Vegas, or Helldivers, or anything? What else has been going on with you?
Last night, that documentary about Nickelodeon...
Did that drop?
It's on Max. There's another episode up tonight. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it either, but I want to.
Yeah. I forgot what it's called.
I don't know.
Under the Mic or Beneath the...
I don't know.
It looks interesting. I'm going to watch it later today, probably. I don't have anything else really going on.
Nancy and I may do that as well.
It looks upsetting, and I'm going to watch it. Yeah.
The Nickelodeon documentary dropped.
Obviously, it's not called Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon's not used, but it's all Nickelodeon. It's about the Dan Schneider produced shows and stuff like that. Yeah.
Weirdo. Yeah. Weirdo!
Yeah, I've already seen like one clip from it today circulate on TikTok.
No. I was
like,
is it bad?
Well, the thing is that when you look at the 90s shows that he produced, like all that, like, yeah, they were weird, but they got especially weird in the 2000s, man. Once you get into Victorious and iCarly and even that like reiteration of all that in the 2000s, mm-hmm. he just had those kids doing weird, bizarre things that grown-ups should not be making kids do.
Gotta make it edgy. We gotta get
people talking. Not even edgy. Like, it was like a just weird and definitely like using their pawning off their fetish on teenage kids. So yeah, can't wait to watch that one. No, but I think it will be very informative. There's gonna be three episodes. The first two were last night and tonight, then the next one is later in the week.
Oh, okay.
They're gonna be on Max.
Okay.
Might be on a couple other streaming things too, though.
It just depends on what they want to do with it, I guess. Oh, we yeah. Caleb, you know what I'm excited for, and it's coming up soon.
What?
I am very excited for Record Store Day.
Yeah,
I can't wait for Record Store Day.
I'm gonna get a record. One exactly.
One record.
One record. I'm gonna get it. Ain't no one gonna get that.
Yeah.
Last year I was easily got mine. This will be a little harder because Blur is a lot bigger than the Dismemberment Plan. Yeah. But I think I can get. I think I can snag that Blur record.
Well, I'm hopeful that I can snag the Eric Carr vinyl that I want, which is. Granted, that's. I'm hopeful. Fingers crossed that we have the same.
Let's make plans on the air here.
Okay.
So we're going to Record Store Day. That's the 23rd.
Nancy, be quiet. We're recording. It's the 20th.
What was I looking at then?
I don't know. What did you say? What did you say it was on?
The 23rd. It's not the 23rd.
No, it's the 20th.
Is better.
Yeah. The 20th is a Saturday.
So let's say if
23rd would be a Tuesday.
Let's say if.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, okay. So 20th is a Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I initially thought, but I read something the other day that said 23rd. It must have been a different year.
It was probably last year's.
Yeah.
I think it was last year's, wasn't it? No?
Okay. Well, last year's was like the 19th or the 20th.
Yeah, something like that. But
if
Record Store Day is April 20th.
If we're not able to watch Civil War between the 12th and the 20th, how about we go watch Civil War on Record Store Day?
I mean, that's kind of what we did last year.
We watched Evil Dead Rise on. I just assume within that week we probably. Why waste it? It's not a waste trip, but why just double the trip? Make the trip there and do two things.
I mean, I'm fine.
How about
with
that. It?
We can do like we did last year.
Yeah, still like we did last year.
But this will be better.
Yeah.
This will be better.
Sure.
Civil War, pumped about it. It's not a sequel to Captain America, folks. It's the new Alex Garland movie, famous for his movie Men.
You ran out of chips. Okay.
Watch Alex Garland's Men. You know, today I was trying to watch a scene from Alex Garland's Men, and it is not on YouTube. It is not allowed on YouTube.
Oh, I say not. You know what's funny is I'm in a Facebook group, and somebody had posted about that movie and was talking about how weird that the whole thing is and about the whole premise of the movie and about what it's supposed to be about and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking. It got me deep dive thinking. That might be one of the most unsettling things that I have seen
There's a few things. Obviously movie. the thing in the final act, the climax of the movie. But there is a scene on YouTube I was able to watch, and it's a gore scene that has like ruined my life ever since I saw it. It's the hand scene.
It's the hand scene,
where the guy puts his hand through like the mailbox, the mail slot.
Yes.
And she stabs him in the arm, and in order to get it out, he has to like slide it back, and like it cuts all the way through his wrist and through his hand, and like it's just that looks so real, man. It looks so real. Yep. I'm like, I don't know how they did that.
Yeah, it's nasty.
But yeah,
Nancy still has to. Watch that
Men is Alec Garland's worst movie. So like, I like it, but it's his worst movie.
Yeah.
Whenever you watch the previews for Civil War, it does not mention Men. It says, like, from the writer of 28 Days Later, Annihilation, Ex Machina. Yeah. It doesn't say Men. Because it was divisive, needless to say.
Yeah. Did you see where A24 is releasing
Uncut Gems?
Uncut Gems, Ex Machina, and Hereditary in IMAX?
I did.
For the, like, their anniversary.
It's a shame we have no IMAX theaters in West Virginia.
Dude, I know. Dude. It sucks.
So it was Ex Machina, Hereditary,
and Uncut Gems.
I'd love to watch
Gems.
Hereditary in IMAX. Dude. I don't get the Uncut Gems. I don't know how that would play out in IMAX. I could see Ex Machina on Hereditary, but I feel like Uncut Gems is very claustrophobic and maybe not would like lend itself well to.
Maybe that's why.
You'd make it much worse. Like,
I mean,
if you want to have a straight up panic attack, maybe. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's cool though. A24, you know.
Well, Caleb, this week, anything else? I don't think there's anything else. let's take a little breaky poo, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about not just final collections. We're going to talk just straight up collections.
I think do we have three collections a piece that we really, really...
We can have three.
I have three that I have
okay.
numbers for and statistics.
I don't have numbers and statistics, but we're just going to talk about stuff. Is that okay? Because yeah, I don't go sure. that deep. I don't go sure, that deep.
I do. I got to.
All right, Caleb, we're back from our breaky poo.
Yeah.
And we are going to talk collections. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I want to talk about the art of collections.
Okay.
Why do we collect things? Have you ever thought about that? I remember we briefly covered this on like our third episode, maybe. Okay. Was that the toys episode? The toys yes. that made us? And we briefly, that was the over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about collections and we kind of been waiting for this. Mm-hmm. We talked about the science behind collections and why do we collect things as adult versus mm-hmm. why we collect things as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Things may be different. You know, mm-hmm. we're collecting toys and like wrestling toys mm-hmm. and stuff. And I had a bigger video game collection, and as a young teenager, I was on my way to doing a pretty good CD collection, and that kind of died off. So much so that I don't even want to talk about it in this mm-hmm. episode, because there's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to Google, like, why. And I found different reasons for why we collect things.
Okay.
And it says here that collecting may be a way of coping with trauma, loss, or insecurity by creating a sense of order, control, or belonging. Personality traits, some collectors may collect things because they match their personality characteristics or preferences.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
A little bit. Another one here says collectors tend to have... I like this one.
Okay.
Collectors tend to have above average financial resources and better levels of education. High openness and low neuroticism significantly feature collectors' personality. So we may not be the one... Let's say that we're the ones that have the better levels of education. We'll go with that one, compared to the above financial resources. I think we make enough money to be able to collect stuff, but it's not like we make a ton of money, you know?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what I mean, Josh?
Sure.
I just thought that was an interesting different perspective.
Okay.
Another one, this was the big one. Okay. This was the one that I was leaning towards on the Toys That Made Us episode.
Okay.
Sentimentality is a big reason why many people collect.
Okay.
As the objects they acquire may remind them of loved ones or special memories.
Okay.
The last one I have here is, I think specifically, actually you can go with it for any collection, but I honestly feel this way when I'm vinyl searching mm-hmm. at stores.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can get stuff online, but sometimes yep. So this one says the thrill of the hunt.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, the thrill of the hunt. I know I can go online and buy this vinyl for $40, but just think how much better it would feel if I found it randomly in a store yes. one time, you know?
Well, there was I saw somebody post something, and I can't remember who it was, and I want to see if I can, like, find it quickly. But it was a shirt that someone had, and it was something Crate something. I don't remember what it was, but it was a vinyl shirt. Crate Diggers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, is it Kinship Goods? They're not a sponsor, but, you know, we're going to talk about that in just a second. And I honestly believe that I've never heard that term before.
Uh-huh.
I never heard that term before. In the years that I've been collecting vinyl, I've never heard of the term crate digger. And it's just somebody that goes and hunts vinyls.
Yeah.
I'm a crate digger.
Yeah.
Anytime Nancy and I go somewhere mm-hmm. out of town, the first thing I'm looking for is a record store.
Yeah.
I'm looking for three things. I'm looking for a coffee shop, possibly, restaurants to eat at, so I guess that would kind of apply into a coffee shop, and a record store. If there's more stuff around that record store, the better. Like, when we went to Louisville, we were able to find a record store. We found two record stores, actually, that were, like, on a street that was nothing but, like, mom-and-pop locally owned shops.
Yeah.
By all means. But back to Crate Digger, yeah, without question, because I'm like, I agree with you. The fun thing about collecting, especially vinyl, is the thrill of the chase and the thrill of the find.
Yeah,
because you never know what you can easily go online and, like you said, find it for $40. But
yeah,
walking into a record store or walking into a secondhand shop or something like that and sifting through the vinyls yeah. and seeing what they have and what they don't have,
yeah,
is more fun than sitting and scrolling through your phone.
It's true.
Just me.
Unfortunately, I succumbed to the latter this weekend because you said that you saw a couple XTC records when you went to that record store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have one of them. I had to buy it online. I've never seen it. I've never seen an XTC record in person at a record store. Mm-hmm. And the records that I ordered this past weekend were records that I'm convinced I'm never going to see in a store. Mm-hmm. And I just had to buckle down and just order them. Mm-hmm. And it's not as fun, but it'll feel good when I have them. I just know if I would have walked into a record store and would have saw it in the X section, I would have, you know, I'd be like, oh my God,
amazing.
On
the opposite end of that, though, you know, myself, when I've... Most of my records that I own, and you remember, I used to have a vast record collection, and I gave them all to Nathan. Mm-hmm. I gave all my records to Nathan because I didn't have anywhere for them. I didn't necessarily want to collect anymore.
Yeah.
And then I gave them all to him, which he started to collect, and that kind of spurred me back into collecting again at some point.
Yeah.
Most of the records that I have been either bought in the wild, or I have ordered them from mom and pop record stores that are online, that have online shopping. A place like Rolling Rex, Firehouse Records. Not many vinyls that I've bought have been off of Amazon.
Yeah.
And that's fun to me too. I do like getting online and finding hard to find records, or finding records that I know are not necessarily out of print, but I know that they're only like a limited number of them.
Yeah.
And finding them on those mom and pop stores, and mm-hmm. then searching through those mom and pop stores, because they're fun. They're fun to look through, especially when it's places that I know I'm never going to get to go to.
Yeah.
So I agree, like, with the Amazon part, but I have a lot of fun looking online for them as well.
I usually don't order off Amazon. Mm-hmm. Like the XTC one, I would have had to get off Discogs or mm-hmm. eBay. Mm-hmm. I chose eBay. Because if I were to get the double, I only did the single LP version, so it's not even the full album that was released. It's cut five songs, but the songs that are on the single LP version are my favorite songs. And it was $23 used, original from 1982. But if I wanted to get the double LP unopened, it would be $100 or more dollars. And maybe one day I'll crack down and do that. But I'm just like, I can't.
Right now I
don't want to do that.
See, that the thing for me is that, from a collector standpoint, I know how much, vaguely, roughly, I know how much, especially the records that I collect now, I know how much they're worth, mm-hmm. how much they're gonna be worth, and how much I'm willing to pay for those. Now, some of my Kiss records I've got, I don't think I've paid more than maybe $50 for one. I think the one that I paid the most for was maybe Kiss Unplugged, I think, and that was before they reissued it again. And I think that was $54, but at the time that record was going for about $130-140 unopened. And I'm not the type that doesn't open their records. If I'm buying them, I'm going to play them at least once. I take that back. Nancy, how much was Hot in the Shade?
Where did we order it?
You ordered it from eBay. Or Discogs. Nancy ordered Hot in the Shade, which is a record that has been reprinted one time. And that was during the anniversary. But she found an original pressing that is in amazing condition. It still has the shrink wrap on it. It's opened, mm-hmm. and the vinyl's in its own like plastic sleeve. But it's still... It's like VG Plus. $58. That's the most that's ever been paid for one of my records, as far as like Kiss goes.
Mm-hmm.
But Nancy, on the other hand, though, has paid quite an arm and a leg for some of her vinyls. But we won't talk about that.
Well, let's talk about our vinyl collections.
Some of those Taylor Swift records are a little up there.
I was gonna say the most I ever paid for one was $50,
and that was Reputation. Right?
No, because I bought Reputation at retail, remember?
What was the one that you bought for $50 then?
I want to say it was the original Fearless because I bought the platinum version.
Okay. We'll get to Taylor Swift here in just a few minutes. Go ahead. Collection, Caleb. Collections.
Record collections. I've been buying on and off. I've been buying records since 2015, but mm-hmm. only collecting since 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Was whenever I started, like it was around COVID, I was like, I might as well start bulking mm-hmm. this thing up.
Yeah.
And overall, I have 61 vinyl records. Mm-hmm. going to increase. I'm going to have 63 here within a week. If I go to a record store, it's likely I'm going to buy one.
Yeah.
I'm going to find something that I like. Like if we go to Sullivan's in Charleston, I'm always going to find. I'm probably going to find five that I want, but I'm going to end up getting two or three.
Yeah, that's also the problem when you go into a mom and pop record store too, is if 99% of the time they're going to have about four or five records that you want. Yeah. When we went to Morrow's Records in Cincinnati Langer. I don't know exactly how to say it. When we went last week and you got those records,
yeah,
we walked out with $200 worth of vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't proud of it, but it was records that I was searching for.
$70 of that or so was mine. So
right, but still, I'm saying between us, we walked out with over $200 worth of vinyl, and of course that was you, me, and Nancy as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing of it is, that's one of the bad things about going to a brick and mortar store and going to an actual record store is because you are probably going to overspend a little bit than what you should.
Yeah.
But again, if you find a record that you've been looking for, you're going to get it. You're going to buy it.
That store, I mean, luckily you could look at their inventory online, and
they had more than what their inventory was.
I'm sure, but I was able to find some ones that I've really been wanting that I haven't seen in person, like the Pavement, Terror Twilight. I've seen a lot of Pavement albums in person, but never the ones that I wanted.
Yeah,
I was like, I want this one.
Yeah,
and I wanted Dear You by Jawbreaker. I usually see another like older Jawbreaker album, but I was like, I want Dear You.
Yeah,
and then the Wolf Alice Blue Weekend was just cherry on top. You all found that, and I was like, that's $22.
I was actually looking for My Love Is Cool, but. You know
me, I'm a...
They didn't have it, so... Because I was going to buy that one. Because I love that album.
I'm a Blue Weekend kind of guy, but I like Molly. It was cool, too.
But
yeah, I have 61 records, which... I thought I'd have between 50 and 60 records, and I did. And it's ever-increasing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at some numbers here for me. Some individual artist collections. Mm-hmm. I don't have more than three from an artist.
Mm-hmm.
There's several that I have three of, and I'm working my way up. Like I got three Kate Bush records, especially with that The Dreaming that I got at Sullivan's. Is I paid like $45 for that one. That's one of my favorite records. It's super good. I got three Billy Joel records. They're all used and in not great condition. But you know,
anytime
they
need cleaned.
Actually, the records themselves work fine.
Okay.
I think it's just the sleeves.
I was going to say, anytime they need clean, bring them to me.
They play fine. And there's probably really only maybe one or two other Billy Joel records that I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Nylon Curtain. I'd buy the Nylon Curtain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd probably buy Turnstiles. I have three Jeff Rosenstock. I'd like to get his whole collection.
Mm-hmm.
I've fortunately been able to buy two of his in person. One at his show and... what was the Books A Million? Mm-hmm. Books A Million had a Jeff Rosenstock's new album last year. I was like, holy cow.
Wow.
Like, I've got to buy that.
Wow.
Got three Elliott Smith. Would love to get his whole collection.
Mm-hmm.
I usually find one of his records at any record store I go to. That's like a, you know, like a Sullivan's, not necessarily a Books A Million, but a Sullivan's records. And I have three Steely Dan records. They're all pre-owned, but the good thing about the Steely Dan records, one in particular, is the Can't Buy a Thrill pre-owned version, the pre-owned record that I have of that I got from Sullivan's, not original 1972 recording, and it looks brand new.
Mm-hmm.
I got that for $40, and that's one of my favorite records. It does not look like it's ever been used, and it's from 72.
Yeah.
As far as the most I've ever spent on a record, I have a little Muppets collection here of three Muppets record. I have the Muppet Movie, I have Muppet Christmas Carol, and I have that Muppet Mayhem soundtrack that a friend of mine got for me that from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
The most I've ever paid is for that Muppet Christmas Carol limited edition one that has like the cover has like every character on it.
Yeah.
I paid like $95 for that record. Mm. Yeah. And the second most I've paid for a record is my record that I got made.
That's different.
It's $90. No, I paid $90 for that.
Yeah.
And for the longest time I thought it played like trash. But it doesn't. It just played like trash on my dad's record player. Then I played it on my record player, and it sounds perfectly fine. So I was like, oh, what a waste. But I was like, oh, no, it actually sounds pretty good.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't love to spend over $40 on a record, but sometimes Like that Kate Bush record was $45. Like, there's no other way. I'm not going to find this any place else. I got to get it now. Well,
the thing for me too is that, are you done with your collection?
I was just going to say I own 12 pre-owned records.
Okay,
so. Okay. I don't know if you. Yeah, I have 12 out of the 61 are pre-owned. Most of them are in decent shape.
What's crazy for and I'll talk about Nancy's collection too because our collections are combined. They're not.
Yeah.
I think the only complete discography that we have is Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I think now I'm working on Kiss, but
yeah,
I'm more so am trying to find most of the Kiss vinyls in the wild. I'm trying not to order them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of them, I know if I find them in the wild, I'm not going to pay the eBay and the Amazon prices. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will say, technically, we also have the complete discography of Harry Styles.
Yes.
And Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay. Well, Olivia Rodrigo has two albums.
And
so.
Harry only has two.
And Harry has three. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, technically, I have the complete discography of Empty Country.
Which there you
is
go.
The guy from Symbols Eat Guitar is next band because they only had two records. Yeah.
Well,
but yeah.
I do think those are the only ones that I have all of their
records. So. For me, it's more so finding them in the wild. Now, as far as I'm mostly going to talk, I'll talk about my Kiss records first because that's the ones I have the most of.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've already talked about how the most I think I've ever spent on a record is roughly 50. I would say 60 tops because I'm not entirely sure how much Kiss Symphony was because it was three LPs and the Millennium Kiss Alive, the Millennium concert was. So I'm not sure exactly how much I paid for those. I don't remember. But yeah, the most for Kiss was about 55. And that's honestly probably the most I've ever paid for a vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it is hard. It is so hard to justify over $30 or $35 at most for a single LP.
I get it.
Like a single album. If it's one vinyl, $35, I'm like, I don't. Yeah.
That's how I felt about the Muppet Christmas Carol. It weighed on my mind for a month because I saw it. I was like, where did this beautiful creation come from? Mm-hmm. And it is only one vinyl.
Yeah.
I haven't even listened to it yet, but I've opened. I've looked at it. It looks mm-hmm. The funny thing about that record is that I showed you is that the inner linings of it or like the piece of paper you can take out of it is for the Muppet movie. It's not even for a Muppet Christmas Carol, so it's like bizarre. It's like I think there might be reasons why it costs more because there's a mistake inside of it.
Huh.
Like the record itself is a Muppet Christmas Carol, but when you pull out the paper, it shows,
it might be a Muppet Christmas Carol. Have you played it yet?
I mean, I'm just saying. I would guess that because in the description,
I'm just saying
it says,
misprints happen all the time.
Okay. Well, I mean, it has the names of the songs and stuff like
that. That doesn't matter.
I'll play it
because here's why
I've heard that it's. I've heard from people. I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. I went on Reddit threads. People like have had the same thing happen. It plays the record.
Well, the reason why I say that is because I want to say I don't remember which record it is. I think it's. Oh God, is it? Is it Creatures of the Night, maybe? It's either Creatures of the Night or Lick It Up. I don't remember which one. But there are some prints of those Kiss records from the early 80s
mm-hmm.
that... Or was it Animal Eyes? Might be Animal Eyes. Anyway, the first the first side is fine.
Yeah.
When you flip it over, it's a John Mellencamp album on the other side. They're sought after. I'm not
paying for it what they want for it.
But it would be a cool collector's item to have.
Yeah.
So yeah, you might have a Muppets Christmas Carol. You might.
I can check.
You might have it.
I can check.
No, wait till Christmas.
That was
till Christmas to do it.
Even looking at all the prices, the price that I got for was the best possible price because a lot of them were like $120, $130 bucks. And I was like, $95 is about the best I can do. And I really wanted it. It's the best looking as far as like the record sleeve goes. It's the best looking record sleeve that I have, and I love that movie. I love that soundtrack. It'll be a great thing to have around the holiday season every time. But yeah,
it's also great to. And I'm in a few vinyl communities on Facebook and stuff, and it's really cool when it's crazy. Some of the community because some of the community can be very toxic, and then some of the community can be really cool and be helpful mm-hmm. with each other.
Yeah.
For instance, again, we'll go back to... I'm going back to Kiss again. Psycho Circus was out of print for forever. Like, it's been out of print since they repressed it in, like, 2004 or 2005.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere around through there. It was going for, like, $90, $100, $110 on eBay and Discogs. It was the only place you could get it. And I kept telling Nancy, I was like, ugh. I was like, I can't justify it. I can't justify it. I can't justify it. One morning, I just woke up randomly before I went to work. This was back, I was still working at the DHHR at the time, right? She's asleep. Anyway. Yeah. You think I was?
Yeah.
Okay, I was working at the DHHR still at the time, so that tells you how far along or far back this was.
Mm-hmm.
That I randomly woke up and somebody had posted in one of the vinyl groups that Kiss Online had just put Psycho Circus up on their website.
Yeah.
$25. Immediately. I didn't care. I literally bought it off their website for $25.
Yeah.
And it was like $6 shipping.
Yeah.
Immediately, like, it sold out maybe 20, 30 minutes after I got on there because it's so hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
But now they do. Here's my thing. I do not like picture discs. Like them.
See, that's the Muppet Mayhem.
Do not like them.
The Muppet Mayhem one I have is a mm-hmm. picture disc.
Don't like them. I do not like picture discs because it just eats the sound.
Does it?
Yes. I'm not a fan of them. I will never buy the Kiss solo albums. I can get those on picture disc, no problem. Mm-hmm. You can find them. The Sullivan's has them. That Morrow Records place had them.
Mm-hmm.
I will not buy them because I like to listen. I like to listen to my vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think it's not cool to just sit and listen to your records and things like that. Like, just put your record on, sit down, do nothing, sit there and listen to them. I do that. I do that myself sometimes. And if I'm going to sit down and listen to a record, I want it to be the best sound possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not going to buy a picture disc for that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate that Reputation by Taylor Swift is only available on picture disc. I hate that.
Makes sense to me.
Shut up, Kate.
Worst album, worst quality.
But they're
sorry, Nancy.
I hate that. And here's another thing that annoys me.
Yeah.
Variants. I despise.
You hear that, Nancy? Variants. I don't either. I don't like them either.
I don't. And here's why.
Why is it,
like variants.
Yeah.
Because there are people. Number one, with variants, it's always something quote unquote limited. Mm-hmm. Okay. For instance, and I'm going to use two examples here. Ace Frehley brought out that new album, 10,000 Volts. We talked about it on the show. It has 15 different variants.
That's too much.
Folklore has 10 different variants.
That's too much. What about two different ones?
What do you mean?
What about two variants?
It depends. It depends on what it is. Okay, here's the thing. If you have a variant, okay. Variants should only be different if it's a normal edition and a collector's edition with something else in it.
Okay.
By that, I'm saying everything that's on that original edition should be on that special edition. Everything on that special edition, music-wise, should be on that original edition.
Yeah.
If you're getting a special edition, it should have something like a poster. It should have something like another 7-inch. Kiss did the same thing. They brought out out Lick It Up. They remastered it. Not remastered, but reprinted it on picture disc. Not buying it, number one, it's picture disc. But they had that, and then they brought out the two singles that were released from that album and put those as an extra vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
That was a variant. And then the other one, then they had the regular black vinyl.
Yeah.
That's fine. It came with stuff that's already on the original record,
mm-hmm.
but it was just two singles that was with it as well. That's fine. I despise the same things being on the same records, it just being a different color and a different cover and a different cover colored vinyl. I hate that.
What about this?
That is just money grabs.
What about this? What if it's a band that it probably isn't doing that great financially?
Okay.
They have two versions of the record.
Mm-hmm.
And one is orange,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is glow-in-the-dark green.
Don't even get me started on that.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something. Here's why. Here, you bring up glow-in-the-dark. We're going right back to Kiss one more time, and I promise this will be the last time, hopefully. But that's what I own the most of is Kiss, probably.
Yeah.
Collectively, because I own 26 of the 30.
Mm-hmm.
26 of the 30. So I'm almost there. They just released Creatures of the Night box set.
Yeah.
A 9 LP glow in the dark box set.
Jeez.
$1,000.
Too much money.
It came with a jacket and all the stuff that this has already come out too, by the way. It's just a glow in the dark set.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Jesus.
Kiss my ass. I'm not buying. Okay, I'm not buying.
See, what I was leaning towards is that a band, a relatively small band that I really love that just released my favorite album of the year so far, Glass Beach.
Okay.
Their new album, I don't think they released two different vinyls for it.
Mm-hmm.
And one is orange. I got the orange one.
Okay.
It was cheaper.
Okay.
It was $35.
Okay.
Or something like that. The orange one was $42.
Okay.
I mean, the glow in the dark one was $42.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they mean for people to collect them. It's just, you can just pick whichever one you want,
That's fine.
I don't think they have the kind of fan base that's like, oh, I have to get both versions. But if they do, that's more money for them, and they're not millionaires probably, so it's like, whatever.
Oh, no. It's got nothing to do. It's got nothing to do with whether or not the artist wants to do it.
Yeah.
Here's what it boils down to for me, and this is what makes me really, really irritated about the vinyl collecting community. Now we're going into this community of collectors.
No,
we're going away from us now.
No.
Yeah, we're going away from us for a minute. We're gonna talk some shit about Taylor Swift. Here we go.
Josh.
We're going down that road. Oh yeah, you will.
I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, you will. And I'll tell you why.
And I was like, damn.
These people that buy these records and collect these records and then turn around and resell these records are they are no better than ticket scalpers. They are no better.
It sucks.
They are no better than ticket scalpers. They're not. For instance, you get on, and Nancy can attest to this, and she can say it's true. Before they started repressing all of her albums, her old vinyls, like her old stuff, her stolen stuff.
Yeah.
They were going for $100, $150, $200 for vinyls. They're her CD singles, some of them are going to as close as $500.
I mean, considering that CD.
Why?
What was the Nancy, did you buy that CD?
Yes.
That CD was like $30.
Yeah. Yeah,
what was it? Was it
She Found Reputation and Speak Now? The original
Speak Now was 30.
Yeah, Speak Now was $30.
That's a lot.
The Walmart Deluxe version.
Paid 30
it was
bucks.
Still sealed.
I never
still
paid
30 sealed.
Bucks for a CD.
Well, it also comes with a DVD.
Yeah, it comes with a DVD too. But
I bought.
If you go online now,
every CD I used to buy came with a DVD.
Right, but
it was on the CD.
But if you go online now,
yeah.
That's going for $80 and $90.
And that was the only reason why.
That's crazy as hell.
I know it's supply versus demand. But I can't, in my good conscience, I could not walk in there and take a used record that's been played and go to somebody and be like, that's $300.
Well, what about the Orange Reputation that's $900?
Oh, my God.
It's
Urban Outfitter exclusive Reputation on Orange Vinyl going for $900.
It's a disgrace.
It's only a 1 LP.
It's not even
the
good.
The only thing, the justification for me is Record Store Day stuff. And here's why. Because Record Store Day is stuff exclusive for independent record stores.
Sure.
Okay? Yes. That's helping out an independent business.
So you're talking about what they charge on Record Store Day. Not people.
I'm talking variants and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's the only time for me that feels justified as not being a cash grab because it's helping an independent record store stay open.
Yeah, yeah.
But I see no excuse, none, for having here's a black vinyl and a white vinyl and a red vinyl and here's a splatter vinyl and here's this vinyl and then here's a green album. Here's one that I shoved up my ass and now it's brown splattered. You know, there's no sense in it.
Yeah,
make a copy of your record and sell, because every time you make a variant, you're having to pay even more to get these variants made.
I hate to say it, it's borderline grifting.
It completely is.
It's very reminiscent of the Trump shoes.
It completely is. And the thing of it is that they know that collectors, especially collectors of an artist, are going to buy every single one of these. Well, you know,
Taylor Swift's the most popular artist in the world, so it's like that fan base is strong, and they're going to want to get that stuff, you know.
And here's the thing, and she partly pisses me off, and she's part of the problem, too. Her new record that's coming out.
Yeah.
There's four different variants. It hasn't come out.
It's annoying.
And every single variant has a different, quote-unquote, bonus song, which, give it 6 months, it'll be on Spotify.
Man, I don't know how that stuff's going. I don't know how that record's going to sound. It might suck, you know. Like, it might not be one of my favorite records, and here I am
buying four separate versions. Four separate versions. Not, but that's the thing. It's four separate vinyls, four separate CDs.
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
She did the same thing, but here's the thing. She did the same thing with Midnights.
Yeah.
She did the same thing with that. Four different versions of Midnights. I did the math.
She's out of control.
Remember when that happened? I did the math.
Out of control.
Four different versions of the albums, four different versions of the CDs, plus the clock. That clock, those two clocks that she brought out, because if you don't know anything about it, folks, Midnights was actually, when you flipped it over on the back, it was part of a clock. You had to buy all four vinyls to make a clock. You had to buy all four CDs to make a clock. Now, here's the thing. Each one of those vinyls were $30 a piece. Right? $30?
I think it was closer to 40.
Closer to 40. $120 for a clock. Okay? Then another $25 for the CDs.
Yeah.
Four CDs. So there's $110 right there, $120. Then she turned around and released autographed copies of the CDs and the vinyls.
Out of control. She must be stopped. Nancy, you with me?
Nancy has one copy of the CD, which I got at the tour, the tour exclusive CD. Mm-hmm. That she never offered. Well, she ended up offering out on her website, too, after the tour was over. And the actual normal version of the... No, she got the Target exclusive, because there was a Target exclusive one, too. Forgot about that.
Did Kacey Musgraves do this? Casey, what are you doing?
That's my point. That's the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that it doesn't matter what the variant is.
Yeah.
It all should have the same stuff on every variant. And I guarantee you, Taylor Swift releases that album as another variant that has all four of those songs on it at some point.
Probably.
I know she will, because somebody will buy it.
Y'all should put an asterisk on my complete discography. I only have one copy of each album.
Yes, right. Nancy has one copy of each record, and that's it.
Yeah.
When she announced the record,
I would never get multiple copies.
When Taylor announced the record, she ordered the CD.
Yeah.
The CD version, because it comes with stuff, but it's the standard CD comes with all that stuff. Yeah. Okay. The vinyl is one extra song, but there's four different variants of the album, so there's four separate songs. Mm-hmm. So in order to get the whole complete album, you have to buy four versions of the CD or four versions of the record.
I was gonna say Olivia Rodrigo also did that with
there
was a hidden track on each album, and
suck.
Like whatever
wherever so
she
you got it
GUTS like the guts on her ring, and whatever ring was the bejeweled one indicated which hidden song you have on your vinyl.
That's stupid. I hate that. You know what I wish they would do, because they're all have way too much money anyways. If I was them, if you don't want all those songs on your initial release, just release it on streaming later.
I guarantee you I know what happens. Record store day, because there's two record store days, right? Right?
Is there?
There's one in November, Black Friday.
Okay, yeah.
I guarantee you, I'm calling it now. If it happens, I called it on this podcast. November, you will get the Tortured Poets Department EP record store day exclusive that will have all four of those tracks.
Colon, even more tortured.
I bet you that happens, because it's only four songs and you can stick that on a 7-inch single.
I'm going to be honest with you. Bonus tracks or like tracks that didn't make the album usually aren't very good. They usually suck. Usually you put the songs you want on the record that are going to be the best ones for the most part. There's some exceptions, but...
Like Taylor Swift's Midnights, the 3 a.m. tracks are better than the tracks that are on the album.
I don't know about that.
They are.
I didn't love them.
They are.
But I didn't love the albums.
They're like, better.
But the only exception really is that new Blink-182 album, the bonus tracks actually like more than a handful of songs on the new album. They could have cut a couple of those songs and put in those bonus tracks.
They did the same thing with that with Neighborhoods.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know what they were thinking with Neighborhoods. They should have just released the album fully because it was good.
Yeah,
they left off some of the best songs.
With a CD, there's no excuse. I know we're getting completely off track.
I think when it comes to Neighborhoods, I think we do view Neighborhoods the album as that full
the version. Deluxe edition.
We view that as the album.
Yeah.
It feels like the complete experience. Mm-hmm. The other one's just like a 10-track one, and it ends weird.
Yeah.
It's better when it ends with Even If She Falls.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not vinyl related.
Right, we're getting off track there. But it's... Variance gets on my nerves to an extent. I absolutely despise 10 or 12 different variants on one album.
No, I'm not
and especially when there's nothing different on them. That irritates me too. And by that, I mean you have 15 different variants of this album, especially if the album sucks. God, if the album is trash, there should be no reason why there's 15 different variants of that album.
I agree.
Like 10,000 volts. There should not be 15 variants. It should be on a black vinyl or a splatter vinyl. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree. 10,000 volts.
Like Billy Joel. Billy Joel released the box set, the vinyl collection, his first 6 albums.
Yeah.
Okay. You actually get an extra vinyl when you buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Billy Joel, which happened to get released during Record Store Day? Go figure. So if you bought the box set, if you already had all the vinyls and you bought the box set just for that extra record, it got released on Record Store Day.
Yeah.
If you exclusivity.
The live album.
Pisses me off too. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exclusivity pisses me off too when it comes to vinyls. Especially when it's on vinyl and then you can't put it somewhere like on a streaming service or something like that. That also irritates me when it comes to collecting certain things. Because a lot of times, exclusivity on vinyls and streaming, I don't have the time at certain times and certain points to rip my vinyls onto a computer and then rip them on and separate tracks and then put those tracks on my phone.
Yeah.
Give me a way to get those tracks other than just on vinyl.
Yeah. That's what sucks about one of the XTC records that I ordered this week. Because I ordered the one that was originally 1982 released.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ordered their other one, Apple Venus, which was their next to last album that came out in 99.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is not streaming. It's not streaming, and it's a rights issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. It's just you can find it on YouTube, but
yeah.
It ain't streaming on like Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just wanted it on vinyl because I thought that was badass.
Well, going back to that Billy Joel record, it's on vinyl, and then they put it on streaming like maybe 3 months ago. It's on streaming now. You can go and listen to it on a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about most of the time, and I believe going back to novice, and I say novice because there's a fine line when it comes to vinyl collecting about people that buy the vinyls to listen to them and people that buy the vinyls as for the artwork and to put up in their home.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. If that's what you want to do, do that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with that, though, is the people that don't even attempt to learn about a vinyl or learn about how to play them correctly or anything like that. I despise, especially now getting my Audio Technica, I've gotten there, I despise suitcase vinyl players.
Mm-hmm.
I despise them. There's a night and day difference. Don't ever own a suitcase vinyl record player. If you are listening to this and you're thinking about starting to collect vinyl, do not buy a suitcase record player. It will do nothing but cause you harm. But vinyl collecting.
Get over it. God,
vinyl please. Collecting. My collection.
Oh, God. You've had enough, sir. You've had enough. You've had too many, okay? Do you know how many records you have?
Oh, dude.
You didn't count them? God.
What is it?
Freaking dweeb.
Over. I know we've got over. Okay. We've got at least 150 now. At least, I would say close to 150.
Our disc has 87, and the last thing I clocked on there was
then we've definitely got more than that now.
Hmm. Conflicting yeah. words.
No, we've definitely... Well, our Discogs says 87. We've
I
got
put all mine
that.
On Discogs.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see like what my value was. Mm-hmm. It's between... My value is between... what was it? It wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $900 to $1,200. Something like that. What? $5,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And I'm not saying that to gloat. I'm honestly yeah. not saying that to gloat.
Yeah.
That's just... For me, that's what I spend my spare money. That's what I spend it on is vinyl. It's just... I will say, though, that my most prized vinyl is that Green Day vinyl that I have. The red and, the red and black splatter.
The warning there.
American Idiot. That's yeah. like $170 or something like that now. And I'm just like, whoo. Whoo. Okay. No, wait. It wasn't $170. How much was it? $170?
I don't know.
Okay. Never mind.
I'd say the one that's worth the most for me is still the Muppet one.
Yeah.
It's still...
Yeah.
If I were to resell it right now, even... I've never played it, but I'd still consider it used because I have opened it. It would still get me 95.
Oh, yeah.
It would get me 95 yeah. to 100 bucks, probably. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. I tell you what, there's a lot. There's a lot to collecting vinyl, too. Like, especially if you're going to sit there and play them and things like that, you...
I don't play mine that much. Not gonna lie.
Dude, I play mine.
Whenever I listen to music is whenever I want to be on the go mm-hmm. or lay down and I want to have the best possible quality in my ears. I ain't going to get that out of vinyl necessarily. With headphones mm-hmm. on, I'm usually not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I still stream a lot.
Well, I do too.
I will play vinyls though, yeah. just to see how it turns out. If it's better than I expect, if it's worse. Mm-hmm. Usually the better ones are... If you pull out, some good original issues from the 70s, 80s that are lightly used, they sound incredible.
Oh yeah, dude.
A lot of these reissues don't sound as good, but
you gotta get them half speed remasters if they make them, dude.
I got some.
Yeah. Those half speed remasters are a whole. I've got Creatures in the Night on a half speed remaster, and the bass and the drums are just so booming on it, and it's already booming on the record anyway.
Yeah.
But playing it through vinyl, just oh man. I love that. I'm not a huge, huge fan of that record, of that album, but man, on vinyl, it's just that half speed remaster is just awesome. I love it.
Let's talk about another collection.
Well, let's take a breaky poop before we talk about it.
No, just kidding.
Okay. We can't. All right, Caleb, we're back from our breaky poo. As I sit down in my chair with my honey roasted almonds, because it wouldn't be a Chat from a Hat episode without. Few little snacks. Caleb, what's next?
I gotta make this quick since you went on.
No, we don't have to make it quick.
You went on a 30-minute tirade
about
variants. I was trying to make a variant joke and I forgot how to make a variant. What is it that involves variants? Like, what show is it or movie that? Loki. Josh went on a Loki rant, if you didn't know. We can cover movies.
Sorry.
We can cover movies now. Let's just say if DVDs wouldn't have went out of style, which they're kind of back in style for me a little bit, not going to lie. But if they hadn't gone out of style for me personally, me getting a little bit older. Here's the thing about movies for me. Whenever I actually started to make money and have money, I stopped buying them. But whenever I didn't have it, I spent all my money on them. I'd say from the ages of 17 or 18 to 25 is where the bulk of this collection came from for my movies.
Yep.
And the total count that I have of when it counts to every movie that I own, that includes DVD, VHS, Blu-ray,
mm-hmm.
includes TV shows, mm-hmm. series, mm-hmm. complete series, I own 250.
Okay. Well, 25 of those you got from me, so...
25?
Probably.
Nah, I doubt it.
I don't.
I'd say some more from Nathan that I stole.
No, I'm talking about like when you used to steal the DVD copies out of my Blu-rays that I would buy.
Oh, I didn't even count those. See, because I only count...
Why didn't you count those?
Because those are in like a little like DVD... I don't know where those are at. I mean, they're in my...
Wow.
They're not in my apartment.
Wow.
They're not my apartment.
Wow. You give a person something, they put it in a spool, and then they just throw them out.
No, they're safe. They're just not at my apartment. I only counted the things that I have the actual covers, physical covers for.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't count American Hustle.
Buddy.
I can't count Chronicle. I got those from somebody. Maybe from Nathan. Me. See? Exactly. I got some from Nathan.
So you didn't get American Hustle from me or Chronicle.
But I have 250 physical DVDs, movies. I have it broke down into sections here.
Okay.
So
okay.
Obviously, I have more DVDs than anything.
Okay.
Went all out on that.
Okay.
It's a bulk. It's a big bulk out of the 250, 213 of them are DVDs.
Okay.
Never got much into the Blu-rays. I was kind of late in the game and never really bought. Sometimes I'll buy a Blu-ray for a movie that I really, really loved and I want a physical copy for. Like the Everything Everywhere All at Once that I bought
is
4K and Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome. That's actually one of my favorite things that I own just because it looks cool. It's just covered with the little, like, the googly eyes. And the Beau Is Afraid. I was like, all I could find in stores was the DVD. And I was like, I'm gonna order the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So I only have 11 Blu-ray.
Okay.
And three of those is the leftovers. Season 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. They didn't come together. I had to get them separately.
Yeah.
And VHS.
Which is crazy.
VHS, I know good and well I have more than this when it comes to VHS, but I don't know where some of them are.
Okay.
I've been collecting VHS since I was 6 years old. Then I stopped about 11 or 12, because where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they go? They disappeared.
Yeah.
But the VHS I was able to find, I have 26.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many more out there that I have just lost in the abyss, which is funny because I had the VHS for The Abyss, directed by James Cameron. But all those Disney movies, I got them somewhere, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only ones that I could find, I have the Beauty and the Beast case, and that's all.
Hmm.
And I have them up at Christmas Carol, but my friend gave me it because he had an extra one, which is awesome, because I love that.
Yeah.
But I know I got a Toy Story out there somewhere.
It's there somewhere.
I've got a Toy Story.
It's out in the ether.
I've got
somewhere.
An Aladdin. I've got a Lion King, because I was obsessed with that Lion King VHS.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have 250 movies. If I would have kept going, man, I'd have in the thousands. But I lost the interest, I guess. It's one of those collections I lost interest in. And recently, having my own place, I've gained a little bit interest in it because I like to you know, display it. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to start looking if you go to Dollar General, man, they have a DVD section of cheap DVDs. I'm going to start looking through those to see if there's anything worth my time. And I think will be.
Right at COVID, I walked out of there with Nightcrawler, The Nice Guys. Oh, my God. Like maybe Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I walked out with like 9 movies for like $40
or DVD.
Blu-ray.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
they were like $3, $4, $5 a piece.
I think it's why I've regained interest because I think we're starting to see a deterioration of some physical media. And I think it's kind of important to have some stuff that you're going to want to have.
We will talk about that here in just a minute.
Okay.
Because I agree with you totally 100%. This is why I am a advocate for, especially in the video game world, physical media.
Yeah,
I rarely buy a digital copy of a game. If I can't get it physical, I'm probably not going to buy it.
That's what I did with Fallout New Vegas.
It's digital. Because it can be delisted in a heartbeat and you never get it again.
Mm-hmm.
Something you've paid for, it's gone.
So let's say if I'm playing the game and I've played it and it disappears.
As long as it's on your console, it'll be fine. But if it's delisted and they completely wipe... Remember that game N Plus that we used to play all the time?
Yeah.
It got delisted and got wiped completely from Xbox.
Really? Oh, man, that sucks.
Could never get it back.
That was a fun
could
one.
Never download it back. It was gone. Completely gone. And if you don't have it, you don't have it.
Yeah.
But if you have that game on a physical copy, then you'll always have it.
Gosh, it's going off again, Nancy. I'm joking.
No, I mean, I'm serious.
You know what?
Well, case in point, streaming services. How many movies, especially like older movies, have you had to rent?
I've had to rent some, yeah.
Or you've had to actually try and find a physical copy. Love, Simon, for instance, when we wanted to watch Love, Simon, before we watched Love, Victor when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to buy it.
Was it not streaming?
No. Streaming anywhere.
Surely it is now.
I'm sure it is now. It's probably on Disney Plus.
Might be.
Or Hulu.
Yeah.
But had to buy it because you couldn't find it. You couldn't find it on a streaming service anywhere. Or, you know, but I completely totally agree with you that physical media is still the way to go.
Sure. I even saying that, but I rarely pop these in because it is more accessible, but I like to know that I have them if they do go away. Like, I love having The Wire complete collection. And
Sopranos.
I need to get The Sopranos. I don't have it.
Keep watching at Walmart because they've been having it on, like, DVD and Blu-ray.
It's there every time I go there, but I'm like, I'm not ready to pull that trigger because it's a little pricey. It's like $70 or something on DVD. I mean, just DVD.
It's cheaper than a gun.
Which getting The Sopranos, like, why don't I mind having something like The Sopranos or The Wire on DVD? Because that's what the quality is on those shows.
Yeah.
Like, a show like Breaking Bad, especially the late season, The Leftovers, you want the best possible quality because of the way it looks. But that's how The Wire and The Sopranos look. That's how early 2000s television looked. So I don't mind having those on DVD. But, yeah. I have, like, the complete series of Community, which is awesome because that's always leaving streaming services and going to another streaming service. The cool thing about The Office, it left Netflix, which sucked. But with it being on Peacock, I've vaguely sort of been rewatching it, you know, like on and off, because you can watch these super fan cuts of stuff that I've never seen on these shows. Like an extra 5 minutes, like, completely changes, like, the trajectory of some episodes. You can understand why it was cut out, but it's interesting to see all these stuff that wasn't on.
Yeah.
As far as I know, wasn't on, like, the physical versions of them. It was just scenes that they cut out because they had to cut for time to get down to 22 minutes. And now it's interesting to see the episodes up to about 30 minutes. So that's been cool. So that's one interesting thing I'll say about The Office. Peacock exists solely for The Office, I think. Like, they do have new shows on there sometimes, but I'd say it's mostly used for The Office and, like, Parks and Recreation.
Monthly subscription so you can watch two shows.
I do have Peacock because sometimes something interesting will pop up on there.
I'm glad you have Peacock so I can watch WrestleMania. Thank you.
Yeah. And we watched was it the Grammys we watched on there? Was that?
Yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's another interesting thing is that I don't have cable, and a lot of these services are starting to stream live stuff like that. So that's interesting, too. But back to, you want to talk about anything with your movie collection or DVD collection, Blu-ray collection?
I have a lot of Blu-rays. I couldn't give you a number because I really don't know, and I just didn't feel like sitting there and counting every single one of them.
Have more Blu-ray than DVD.
Oh, God, yeah.
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 Whereas I have more DVD.
Most of my DVDs are, like, Nancy's when she moved in, honestly. But we do have the beautiful thing too about Blu-rays and DVDs now are a lot of times you can get them $3, $4, $5. Like, new releases, you can get them $3, $4, $5.
They're not worth
in, like, 6 or 7 months. Which is fantastic to me. But I feel that now when people are going to start phasing that out, they're going to start getting more expensive again.
You got to get it now.
While
they are $5.
Yep.
I was looking at my VHS collection, movies that I have on VHS. I have some interesting stuff here. Whenever the movie store about 5 miles from where I lived was going out of business, we raided that place, man. I got a lot of DVDs, even some Blu-rays. Like, I was able to get, like, Army of Darkness there. And I got Donnie Darko. I got Fear and Loathing Las Vegas, which was like a cut of it that was promotional purposes only and not used for, like, resale. I got that. It says that on the box.
For promotional use only.
Yeah. It's like that. I got a Sonic the Hedgehog game that says that too. And I got American Psycho, the unrated version on VHS, which is awesome. And I just saw that my friend sent that they're releasing that a new, like, steelbook of that on Blu-ray. Yep. That looked super cool. But yeah,
they're doing that with The Crow too. They're releasing a new steelbook of that. They've got an Amazon exclusive and a Walmart exclusive. And The Walmart exclusive looks so much better.
Does it?
Yes. Looks so cool. I've kind of slacked down. I can't tell you the last time I bought a Blu-ray or a DVD. It was probably when we went to that record store that I was talking about.
I bought Bo Was Afraid last summer. That was the last time I bought one.
Which it was funny. We went to that record store that I was talking about in Louisville. Now, it is snowing.
It is snowing.
Why?
It's cold. It was a little cold enough. I don't think it's cold enough to be sticking.
It's not going
to
stick, but
Dude, it was a cold Jesus one today, man.
Christ, I hate snow. Anyway, in Louisville, we went to that that record store there,
mm-hmm.
and connected to it was a $1 movie place.
Yeah.
And you walked in, and it was about a room, probably as big as our house. As big as our house, I would say. Well, no, it might have been a little smaller, but it was lined with $1 DVD, and they were all in alphabetical order, which was wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
$1 DVD, $2 Blu-ray.
Jeez.
And there was stuff there that I hadn't seen in years, dude. Years. Really? Like, and they, you remember the old Snap Miramax DVD cases that had the lip on them?
Yeah.
Those. Okay. That's how old some of these
That's
were.
That's how my, the
I found Detroit Rock City on there.
That ain't a good movie. The ones that get snap open.
Yes, it's not a good movie.
You know what I did? I tore those suckers off. I got
a lot of people did.
I got annoyed. Like my mist, the mist that I had did that. I was like, no,
I'm not talking about the little itty bitty ones. I'm talking about the big ones. Like
okay,
where the paper, it was like a paper case, and then it snapped.
Okay,
you know what I'm talking about?
I never had that.
I'll show you. But yeah, dude, I'm a big proponent of physical media.
I'm looking through these to see which ones I think are like the coolest. Most of my DVDs and Blu-rays are standard.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of them are cool. Like my Magnolia DVD is really cool because you open it up and it's like a book.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it comes with like a whole other disc that has like the complete making of Magnolia.
Sorry,
I'm like,
guys.
Like, this is like maximum level.
Yeah.
But most of mine are like basic. Yeah, like
that. Yeah, those were always cool.
That Everything Everywhere All at Once 4K DVD that I have is.
Yeah.
Maybe probably about the coolest one that I own. None of them are especially special.
Well, I love the fact about Blu-ray is the fact that you get everything on the one disc now.
Yeah.
Like, very rarely do they have, like, more than one disc. I think, like, the Lord of the Rings movies have, like, more than one Blu-ray disc.
Mm-hmm.
But 99% of the time, the Indiana Jones box set is that way, too. They have all four movies and then two Blu-rays of special features, like, all crammed into one. But Jesus Christ,
this snow
man.
Is stupid.
This snow is stupid.
Look at those mountains
look
back
outside.
There.
Nancy just went, ew.
Stupid.
But no, I'm really. Mine is a lot of hit and miss stuff. And I do have some classics. Like I've got The Godfather and stuff like that on Blu ray. And I've got the whole James Bond collection on Blu ray. We've got Hunger Games, Twilight, you know, stuff Nancy likes.
I mean, I have a tons of great movies, but
oh,
it's just all of them are like the standard version of it
that
you would have bought on DVD.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, Blu-ray was pretty much the same way. When it first started out, it was just the standard stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of went back to that, but there are some... The thing about Blu-ray and things like that is most of them now are just steelbook. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
like a lot of it's steelbook.
You'll find some cool ones.
Yeah. Like that Dewey Cox one I want to get.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw it again at Walmart. And
that
cool.
Terrifier 2 one is awesome at Walmart. They have a whole like horror section.
It looks
of
like a whole
books
Mondo.
There.
It looks like a Mondo poster.
Yeah.
Well, at Walmart now they have a little end cap of 4K steelbooks that they just put out of some good movies, and they didn't look expensive.
I usually stroll through there, mostly look at the vinyls, but the steelbooks are just right there across from it. I check it out.
For me anymore, it has to be a movie that I really, 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 really liked to get.
Exactly, that's me
to
too.
To buy a physical copy of it.
I got, I got Bo's Afraid because I knew we'd be having a screening, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to get that on Blu-ray.
I honestly can't tell you the last new release Blu-ray I bought.
Yeah,
can't tell you. I can't tell you.
Now before that, you know, I got the Everything Everywhere All at Once 4K, but before that. God, I'd say 2017 or 2018 was the last time I bought something.
I can tell you what it was. No Time to Die.
Okay.
Because I haven't got to watch it yet. I still haven't watched it yet. So
that
was the last new movie that I bought was No Time to Die.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't watched it. So that tells you how much I cared about it. But it was to complete
the collection. Yeah.
And I guarantee you, by Christmas they will release another James Bond box set and put
and
that in there.
I need to do a better job of collecting like actual movie series because I don't think I have any. complete collection. Even like the Planet of the Apes, I don't own Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I just own Dawn, and I own Dawn on DVD, and I own War on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. In my collection that I have in my apartment, you know how many? I own one Toy Story movie, Toy Story 3.
That's the one I have.
I don't think I ever owned Toy Story 2.
But here's
which
the
is
problem.
Crazy because okay. I love it. Okay. But I love all those movies. Okay. They're all 10 out of 10s.
But
to
here's
me.
The problem with Disney on Blu-ray.
They cost too much.
They're like $30 and $40.
I know.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I'd be better off. Yeah, yeah. It's Disney, man. The Taylor Swift of the movies.
No excuse. Absolutely zero excuse as it's to why crazy. They are $30 and $40.
I'd be better off trying to find like used copies on VHS of 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then just hoping I can find Toy Story 4 like on DVD maybe. Well, even though it would be much better on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I'm over it.
Oh, well.
I'm over movies.
You're over movies? I'm over movies. I'm done with them.
Take a break before we go into our
sure.
last section here.
Sure.
Hopefully this next one won't be too long. We'll be able to wrap up here in a little bit soon.
All right, Caleb, our third and final collection for each of us, technically.
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
I got sneakers. It's probably the one that I'm most passionate about. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even consider a collection because I actively want these and I want to wear them out. Some people buy sneakers and they just buy them to collect them. They don't want to wear them out. They spend big money on them. Recently, I've jumped into the camp of wanted to spend less money on sneakers. More of like these, like you see these Pumas I got on right here?
Pumas.
I just got these this weekend.
That is an ugly color, dude.
And I really like these. And I was able to find a
good... Are they comfy?
Yeah. I plan on wearing these in Disney. That's why I'm trying to wear them now so I can get used to them. Okay. And I was able to find these on eBay for $30.
Shoes. See, you have invaded my Facebook, by the way. When you were here the other night, did you look at any shoes?
I didn't. I don't think I did.
Okay.
No.
You sure? Did you open anything that you might have ordered shoes off of?
I might have opened like my Goat app to see like if my shoe track my shoes maybe. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because now I'm getting advertisements and stuff on my Facebook for Nike.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I get those every day.
I got I saw these shoes that were, I think they were Nike Easy On or Easy Offs or something like that.
I don't know what that is.
Talk. I'll find it.
Okay.
Because you got to see these shoes because I really do want your opinion on them. But you mentioned the Nike movie. That's what it was.
Yeah, because,
that's what it was.
Yeah, because everybody was dogging Ben Affleck for some reason. I was like, Ben Affleck directed Air, thank you very much, and that was a solid movie, and it's about Nike.
They are called the Nike Flyees. Have you seen these shoes?
I don't know.
Now, I pulled up the first pair. Now, these are a women's shoe. Actually, no, they're in men's. Okay. They're like a unisex shoe.
Okay.
Now, these are $125.
Okay.
Now, what would you think they look like?
I don't know, dude. I never know.
Okay. This is, I want your honest opinion at first glance, okay? Here you go.
Okay. I hate those. Those are awful.
Those popped up and I went,
what even is that?
I said, Caleb would hate those.
What is that?
Ditch the laces and get outside. Ugh. These kicks.
Kicks.
God. feature Nike's revolutionary FlyEase technology, making on and off a breeze. With a heel that pivots open and for a totally hands-free entry, they're great for people with limited mobility or anyone who wants a quicker way to get going.
I guess, man.
They have a 4.5-star.
Oh, well. They might be comfortable.
The first star, or the first review on here is a 1-star review that says, please restock the out of stock. I want these shoes size 10, preferably.
Sick.
Okay. So, yeah, the FlyEase. The Go FlyEase is what they're technically called. And 180 of them were purchased in the last 7 days.
I've been collecting shoes, sneakers, since 2020.
That was your pandemic purchase, wasn't it?
Well, I think my interest in sneakers happened in 2019 when I made my first big purchase and bought a pair of Kobe's. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, like, those shoes are worth a lot of money now. And I got them for $85 at a Nike outlet while on vacation in Pigeon Forge. Mm-hmm. Those shoes new now go for about $500.
Woo!
Used in my condition, ooh, which I've worn those shoes a lot, they probably are worth $250 to $300. So I'm not gonna sell them.
You're never gonna get rid of
But them. Since collecting sneakers in 2020, I have collected 54. I have 54 pairs of sneakers. Mm-hmm. It's ever growing. I got another pair coming in now. Actually, I got 55 because this does not count this pair of Pumas that just came in. Jesus. So I got 55. Kylie. There for a while, I was stuck on the Air Jordan train, which cost more.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, I've been trying to go more into the casual, like a classic pair of Reeboks, a classic pair of Vans, some Converses, and these Pumas that I have on. I just love a good gum sole, like gum bottom. They look like good casual wear.
I don't know what that means, but
okay. Gum the brown here on the bottom here. That's like they're considered a gum sole.
Okay.
So I have some Vans.
You're literally speaking Greek to me, so.
Yeah, you probably had a pair that have a gum sole, maybe.
Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
But out of the 54 pair, 20 of them, I own 20 pairs of Air Jordan. Straight up Nike, that counts my Kobe collection, which I think I have 5 pair, and that counts my LeBron collection, which has 3 pair. But overall, Nike, 16 pair. Reebok, I have 6 pair. Mm-hmm. New Balance, which I'm on a New Balance kick, man. Those New Balance, they know they got a stew going over there at New Balance. I only got 4 pair, but I love them. Adidas, I have 2. Hate one of them. it's a pair of Kobe's. It's a pair of these like crazy Kobe's that he wore in the early 2000s. I cannot wear those for more than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I want to detach my foot from my body.
Are they just uncomfortable?
Very uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't know how this dude wore these in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. They're crazy. I have 2 pair of Vans, 2 pair of Converse, and out of the 54 pair that I've owned, I own 6 pair that are pre-owned. Okay. Similar to vinyl, man, you can find some really solid pairs. There's only one pair that I bought pre-owned that I was disappointed in the quality. I was like, oh, these look a little used.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I bought these Kobe's. It's a Kobe 9. It's like a boot. It comes up to like high up on your ankle. And it's all black. They're called the Black Mambas. And they're just like, it looks like snakeskin. It's not snakeskin, but it looks like snakeskin.
That's cool.
And because it was pre-owned.
I've never seen you wear those.
I wear them twice a year. If you look at pictures of me dressed up as Officer Dewey from last year, I'm wearing those.
Oh, okay.
Because they're the closest thing I have to like boots that a police officer would wear. But because they were pre-owned, and I got them a size higher, they fit perfectly fine, by the way.
Oh, that's good.
A shoe that would cost $500, $600,
mm-hmm.
I think I got those for $100, or like $120.
Hmm.
And I got another pair of Nikes that were like the Nike Air Force Air Command Force Spurs. Mm-hmm. They're like Spurs colors. They came out in the early 90s, but they re-released in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And these are shoes that like David Robinson wore for the Spurs. They're black, gray, pink.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like a teal on there. They're just like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want these shoes so bad, but if I want them new, it's going to cost me $550, and I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that again.
You could buy a guitar for that, Caleb.
I've never paid $550 for a pair. But I found a used pair on GOAT. And I'm telling you, even when I put those things on now, I'm like, I don't understand how these could be considered used. Like, they're perfectly new. They look perfectly new. I got them for like $120.
Nice.
So sometimes, you know, you just got to bite the bullet and find something that you can trust in or buy, go to a site that you feel like a GOAT. I've had mostly good experience with buying pre-owned on there. And heck, man, you can get some good stuff that's barely been used. So that's my sneaker collection. Love them. Doing a better job at budgeting here lately and just getting stuff that's not necessarily hype, more so like, this is going to look good on me and it's not breaking the bank. It's under $100. So.
Sure.
That's me. What else you got to talk about?
To update, the snow has now stopped.
Who would have thunk it?
I mean, the only other two things that I actually collect, and I say collect as in, I say that loosely.
Yeah.
Is Funkos.
Mm-hmm.
And my video game collection.
Yeah.
And my video game collection is very... It used to be vast, but I downsized it a lot a few years ago. Probably about 10 years ago, I downsized that whole collection that I had. And you can actually jump on the Funko thing as well, because you do also own some Funkos.
I wouldn't say I'm a collector. I've only personally bought...
Three or four.
Yeah. Most of the Funkos I got were gifts, and I have utilized them in a good way, but I usually don't seek them out, no.
My thing is, I don't seek them out anymore. I've got...
Yeah.
And I've said this to Nancy a bunch of times. Funkos now, for me, are few and far between.
Yeah.
They have to be something that is either something pop culture that I am very, very passionate about, or something that I've already got the ones of, so I have to have the next one in that collection. Ghost, for instance. I have all the Ghost Funko Pops from the first pop, from Papa Neil all the way to now. I've got those six. If they make a Papa Five or they make a Cardinal Copia, I'm going to have to get it because I've got the rest. I do have all of the PlayStation ones that I want, like the classic PlayStation people. I've got Crash Bandicoot. I've got
Spyro.
They didn't make Spyro. I've got Crash Bandicoot. I've got Kratos from God of War. I've got the guys from... I've got Joel and Elle from Last of Us. A lot of the classic PlayStation stuff.
Yeah.
I do have those, which you've seen those before.
Yeah.
As far as expensive, probably the one for me that is the most expensive is my Kratos one that I know of. When we put it in the Funko app, it was like... Nancy's walking now. I think it's like $85. I paid $20 for it. Wow. At the game company in Williamson. Yes. Wow. Really? Okay. So I take that back. My most expensive one is Elle from The Last of Us.
Really?
Yeah. And then I have Hannibal Lecter. I forgot I had Hannibal from the actual show. And then, wow. Okay, I didn't know that either. That one's went up too.
We haven't updated it in a few,
there's a lot here. Wow, I didn't know that was going for that much either. Nancy does have the whole collection of the Hamilton Funkos as well.
I don't have all of them.
Well, you've got...
I have most of them.
Well, you've got them all... You've got at least one of every character.
Yeah, the only one I don't have is Lafayette, because they had it on Amazon, and I ended up not ordering it when it was $15, and now it's like $50, so...
Yeah, but you got Thomas Jefferson, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, then you have a character, the guy that played that character. You've got one, so you have all of them except two, then, because you don't have the Walmart exclusive King George either, right?
I think the Walmart exclusive is the one that I have, because it's the one that has his cape on.
Okay. Anyway, so Nancy has quite a few Funkos herself, and we've got some Stranger Things Funkos, and but as far as like. We don't own a lot of miscellaneous Funkos. Like, they all have a set thing. The PlayStation ones, I've got the Ghost ones, and then Nancy has some, like, American History ones. She's got, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, JFK, Jackie. My Kiss Funkos. I've got my Kiss Funkos, too, which are... I got for a steal from Michael and Leslie. Because now they're, like... going maybe $170 for all four of them. So I like that. Thank you, Michael and Leslie. Atomic Comics and Collectibles. Go check them out. Not a sponsor.
I've got a couple Funkos, community Funko Pops at Troy and Abed, the two characters. They're not together, but they're in separate boxes, but they kind of, you buy them together if you want. And Nathan, my friend Nathan, got those for me and they're unopened and they're worth over $200.
Are you serious? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, each of them about $100 a piece.
Wow, I did not know that.
I don't know how much he paid, but it was a while ago. So
it's probably...
It's probably like 50, $20
maybe. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well,
and other than that, like...
You got Breaking Bad and stuff like that, don't you? Don't you have
opened? Yeah, opened up. No, I don't even know where that box is, though.
I don't even... I opened
my
mine.
My coolest Funko
care.
Pop, I don't know how much it'll be worth. I'd say the price... I don't know. But I bought that... Gonzo from Muppet Christmas Carol, and that is the coolest one I have because he's actually like furry.
Yeah,
And I'm never going to pull him out to see what he feels like. I'm going to keep him in that box.
I only
paid $25 for it.
Well, the next time, you know the Rudolph one that we have, the one that feels fuzzy. That's what he feels like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I looked out because some of them aren't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also have like the two old guys, Marley and Marley from Up a Christmas Carol too. But
what was I going to say? I don't remember. I don't remember what I was going to say. Nancy just got this. I found this at Wilcon the other night. Feel him.
Is this how Gonzo
would feel? That's how Gonzo would feel.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the Chase Rudolph. Anyway, it's Funko for me is few and far between, and I know people like collectors and everything are like, oh, why'd you take them out of the box? Why'd you take them out of the box? Because I'm never going to get rid of them. They're mine.
Yeah.
They're mine. I will never, I would have to be in financial ruin to get rid of the things that I collect.
Mm-hmm.
Like my vinyl, my Funkos, my games. I would have to be really, really strapped for cash.
I think the reason why I keep a few of those, the only ones I've kept in the box is Troy and Abed and my Muppet Christmas Carol ones. Mm-hmm. So I think they look cooler in the box for me, because you get to see like the community logo on it. You see their names. You see Muppet Christmas Carol logo. It ties it all together. So it's not about like keeping it in there for value.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it looks cool.
That's the thing. I do have those. I say that, but I do have those.
Yeah, yeah.
The ghost ones are all in the box.
Yeah. But obviously I've taken like the Jordan Peele one out. Yeah. And I have those displayed on my work desk because they look cool there.
Yeah.
But then these ones just look cooler up on my movie case. So, yeah.
So, collecting.
That was it.
We've talked about
collecting things.
And earlier you talked about the definition of collecting.
Sure.
I think you were talking about why we collect things.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you personally collect things?
I mean, I talked about it in the Toys That Made Us one, is that a lot of times I didn't get to collect certain things when I was a kid. I didn't have the money to get the shoes that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever I did have the money and I got a taste for what it feels like to own something like that, I was like, I like having these. I feel good in them.
Mm-hmm.
They look good.
Mm-hmm.
They're cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to collect more of these.
Mm-hmm.
I need to not spend so much money on them,
mm-hmm.
but I like it. Same thing with the vinyls. I think they're cool. If I'm going to spend so long collecting CDs,
mm-hmm.
and while I've said before, I think CD quality might be more on par with my ears than vinyl quality. I'd rather collect the vinyl because it's big. You can feel it. It just feels like
you can hold it in your hand.
Yeah, it feels like it's just cooler.
Yeah.
It's just fundamentally cooler than a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not nearly as fragile to me as a CD. A CD will scratch in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Vinyl, you know, you got to have a really crappy record player and you got to not know what you're doing to really screw that one up, I think so.
Like a suitcase record player.
Yeah. 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 So basically all that stuff is just stuff it made me feel good. I like to have something of my own that I agree with that. I'm a man. I'm a grown-up, okay?
I'm 40.
I'm going to collect things, okay? I didn't get to when I was a child. Yeah. Making up for it.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's kind of a bit of a nostalgia thing for me as well. Especially with collecting artists that you really like. Because in the world now that we're in when it comes to streaming, physical media other than vinyl is kind of on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, vinyl outsold CDs.
CDs are coming back, too, though.
Yeah.
For some reason, Gen Z has discovered them. Like, oh, these are cool little knickknacks.
Yeah, these are little knickknacks.
These are little placeholders.
Can't play them in a car anymore, but...
Yeah, I know. All new cars don't have
All new cars do not have CD players, which is weird, but...
I recently bought a CD for collection reasons. That was Curse of the Ugly Organ.
Mm-hmm.
I strictly bought it to put it in a display case.
Yeah.
Not to keep in its jewel case, but to put it in a display case on my wall, because I think the album art is so cool.
Yeah.
It's not even my favorite Cursive album.
Yeah.
But I just think it would look really cool on a wall, and I was right.
I'll be honest with you. After I collect the Kiss vinyls, if I catch a Kiss CD in the wild, I'm buying it too.
Yeah.
Because I there's just something about being able to pick up the thing that you're listening to, and I miss the days. I was thinking about this the other day. I miss the days when you could pick up a game case and open a game case, and there's like a booklet in there. Mm-hmm. It's like a booklet. It gives you a rundown of the synopsis of the game, and it gives you, you know, it gives you the control scheme and all that stuff. Grand Theft Auto, for instance. Mm-hmm. Grand Theft Auto Steel, when you buy it today, it doesn't matter which game it is, you open that case and there's a humongous map. Mm-hmm. Remember when you could do that, when you could open up the game and it was like this big map that was as long as you were? And there's something to that, being able to pick it up and hold it and look at it and just appreciate everything that goes into the packaging, goes into the creation of it.
Yeah. That's what sucks about... Because I got a small Sega Genesis collection, which I've lended to the place where I work, which isn't being used. No, take it back.
Take it back. But take it back. If they don't appreciate Sonic the Hedgehog, take it back.
I mean, I'll play it there. I'll play Earthworm Jim there. But the thing that sucks about buying a lot of Sega Genesis games now on eBay is that most times it's going to just be the game, which sucks.
Yep.
I'd love to have those boxes. That's some of the coolest packaging, I think. Mm-hmm.
I can go on another 30-minute long rant about retro gaming. I'm not going to.
Don't do
it. The only thing I will say is that the retro gaming market is now taking advantage of retro collectors.
Well, duh.
And that, same thing with Taylor Swift. It's the same thing with the Taylor Swift collection, the collector community for it.
Capitalism's going to capitalist.
You know? I know. But I just miss the day. I miss the day when I could walk into a retro game store and pick up The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, and it'd be $20. Yeah. Now you walk into a game store, a retro gaming store, which is just for retro games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking like Atomic Comics and stuff like that, because that's not their main medium. That's not their main market. You walk into a place and you pull Ocarina of Time or you pull Majora's Mask off the shelf and it's $110.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I've got the cart. That's cool. I'm glad I got the cart, just the cart, for $110.
Where's the case?
Yeah. Where's the book? Where's the box?
Yeah.
If I want to play Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask enough or bad enough, I'll pay $50 for a subscription to Nintendo Switch Online and play it for a whole year for $50.
That's why I think Nintendo 64 and Super Nintendo had some of the worst packaging.
Because
it was so fragile.
It was very fragile.
Whereas Sega Genesis, I think, is pretty sturdy.
Yeah, because it was a plastic box, dude.
Like, I feel like
they were doing big plastic boxes before, like, PlayStation and Xbox. And no, nothing was more fragile than those damn jewel cases for PlayStation.
Dude, gosh.
You buy the game and it just disintegrates in your hands.
I still think N64 was the worst, because it's just paper.
It was bad. It was bad.
It sucked.
It was bad.
So any new N64 game you buy is not going to even have it in the case, probably. So.
No. Which sucks, but it does.
That's enough. That's enough of that. Well, we've had enough. Let me eat my Japanese sweet potato. Goodness gracious. That's big. Okay, I'm going to eat that later. I saw that coming. Is it your turn?
That's what she said.
Is it your turn?
Yes.
There you go.
It doesn't matter. Nancy picked last week, so I don't know who picked before that.
I don't either. I'll
do it. Cereal I did, so it's your turn.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. This has been a long episode, folks. Sorry.
Why are you apologizing? It's been quality content.
Sorry, folks, okay?
Quality content. Quality over quantity. What we got, Caleb? Bum, bum, bum. Green Giant.
Let's see what we got here.
We'll flip it over.
This is one I've had to explain to you 1,000 times, but I'll explain to you again.
Oh, God.
Because it'll be good and it'll be easy.
Sure.
Film auteurs.
Oh, God.
Okay. Looking at the catalog of specific directors. Film auteurs are directors that have a very specific style, and you kind of know it's their film when you're watching it. It's the Tarantinos, the Finchers. I would put the Ari Asters and Jordan Peeles in there now for more recent ones. Okay. There's quite a few modern ones.
Tell you what. You know the movies that you and I both have seen by a lot of directors. You pick them.
Can we pick the
and
directors?
And we'll just talk about them.
I think I... I think I have a good idea of which directors we could talk about.
Well, I mean, we've just named four, so.
Well, yeah,
I mean, I've seen every Ari Aster movie. I've seen almost every Tarantino movie.
Even though I don't think Spielberg has
Spielberg doesn't have a style,
but I think he'd still be considered an auteur probably. But yeah,
all right, Caleb, where can people find us?
You can find us by tapping in Chat from a Hat on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter,
on the everything,
on TikTok. And you can
follow us on TikTok. You'll see me troll Caleb.
You can constantly email us. You can email us at chatfromahatcast@gmail.com.
Either that's coming this way or it's going away from us.
Dude, I don't know. I've given up on the weather.
Up on the weather today. We have a nice window that we can look out now while we're doing the show, which is nice. All right, Caleb. So next week we're talking film auteurs.
Auteurs. Ben Affleck is going to be there.
Oh, my God. I'm going to wear what are those hats called? Nancy, what are those hats called? The berets. A beret. I'm going to put on a beret and a monocle and a cigar.
What does this film mean?
We're going to talk feet next week is what we're going to talk.
Paul Thomas Anderson would be another
one. Okay, yeah.
That's considered.
Yeah. Wes Anderson.
Tyler Perry.
Oh, God.
But yes,
he has a distinct style. But get ready, folks. Next week, we're talking about Quentin Tarantino and his foot fetish. So get ready for that, folks. We will talk to you next week about film auteurs.